in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okie dokie, hello, welcome to episode 208 of the Self-Help Podcast with Edward Lamb, myself, and Sean Orford. Are you all right, Sean?
I am myself, too.
You're a bit close to the microphone there, pal.
Oh, I think I should be.
Let me in on it.
I think I should be. Let me easy.
Should we start? We should whisper.
Do you think we should?
I can't stand that close to you. I'm too anxious about being that close to you. We're talking about anxiety this week. It's something that crops up almost every episode in one form or another, but we're going to focus on it. Which is something you probably shouldn't do if you are anxious about things. You shouldn't focus on that particular...
Maybe what you may need to be focusing on isn't the anxiety, because the anxiety is probably a symptom of something else.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Blimey, yeah, okay, no, little clue that. I'm getting anxious about this laptop because it just started. The fan started.
It was you've got a fan.
Yeah, I didn't even know it had a fan in there. But it was all right last week, so I'm confident we've figured out the issue. Basically shut everything down, put it on a flat surface so it's well ventilated.
Yeah,
little tip for you there, guys. liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. If you're new to the show, check out the website. All the previous episodes are on there, and you can sign up to our mailing list. You'll get some free meditation files, which we should probably discuss more, or we'll discuss more in this episode. Morning and evening relaxation file MP3s free of charge.
Yeah,
and we'll also send you weekly alerts as soon as these episodes go online. Not too shabby. Quick mention to our friends at clearmindcushion.com. They make a fantastic meditation cushion if you're thinking of getting into that, and again, we're going to be talking about it this episode. Head over there and use the code SELFHELP for a 10% discount.
Sounds very good.
What have you been up to, Sean?
Since last time we spoke, I've been to Ireland, had a fun time in the Emerald Isle.
Yeah, good fun. Back in the land, that's your heartland, isn't it? Your
Yeah, not that far away from where my folks come from.
Okay.
In Tipperary.
Did you live there when you were
no.
a wee bairn?
No, never lived there.
Have you got family over there still somewhere?
Yeah, there are family over there, and of course, grandparents and great-grandparents coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
Which puts me in line for the Irish passport.
Ah, so you can keep your EU status.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to check my ancestry.
Yeah.
To find Klingon. I'm going to get a new passport next year. It needs renewing, so I wonder if I'll just hit at the right time so I get a red passport for 10 years, or whether it'll still work.
Oh, yours might go blue, might it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate way to... Yeah, well, that's right. People are anxious about passports now all of a sudden, aren't they? Which is, a few years ago, you wouldn't have thought, why? Yeah. But some people are loving it. They can't wait to get their blue passports, and they're not anxious there. It's the same situation, but some people are anxious. Some people are overjoyed about the possibilities that...
But it's positive anticipation or negative anticipation.
Yeah.
Go.
I should say, we had an email from a listener. When you do sign up to our mailing list, we'd fire off a little message, an automated message, a few days after, just asking how you're getting on and whether there's anything we can help with or what the biggest obstacle facing you at the moment. And 4 times out of 5, the word anxiety crops up in the message that comes back to us. And the listener didn't give too much information about what their anxiety specifically was, but he was saying it's quite important stage of life professionally and personally. So I thought we would have a little chit chat about anxiety on the verge of, I think there'll be an election in the UK a week after this one goes online. So the news will be reaching fever pitch for our listeners that listen to these hot off the press. And people are anxious, you know, one way or another. Some people are like, oh, Corbyn's the new Chairman Mao or whatever. And then equally, people are thinking Theresa May is the new, goodness no,
Tsar of Russia.
Yeah. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle a little bit. But
anxiety comes down in all forms, doesn't it? It's like I'm aware of the fact that my Arabic friends in Qatar... that I've been working with are now through the first week of Ramadan. And there is levels of anxieties when people go into Ramadan, because especially the first few days where your sugar depletes, and trying to get your system used to the idea of fasting from sun up to sundown creates levels of anxiety in quite a few people I've been observing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that something that you get used to? Or do you just
I'm sure that as you get older, you get used to it. I mean, I'm a regular faster anyway, so it's once you got your head around the idea of what you're doing and you know you're going to be able to eat again at some point, it means that you're not, you're not starving to death. You're going to be all right. Yeah, but there is a method in it and a purpose in it for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you switch your screen on so I can see our notes, just so I don't have to...
Right.
Yeah.
It needs my thumb.
I've totally forgotten what I was supposed to be saying, but yeah.
Are you anxious about that?
I'm very anxious about not having a screen to look at. I always need a screen in front of me. People do get anxious about that, don't they? I mean, that is actually a source of anxiety for me, which is real. It's that digital anxiety when you haven't got... Sometimes you get that little feeling where you don't think your phone's in your pocket, or is that just me, and you panic. Where is it? Where is it?
So what if you're defining your anxiety, what is it that you're feeling, what you're anxious about? What is it that's going on?
Well, it's not the actual physical phone, because, it'd be a pain in the backside to replace it financially, but it's doable, and I would do it within days, probably, of losing a phone. So it's more, I guess it's that access to the instant information, whether it be missing out on messages from people, whether it's missing out Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, not being able to check on a whatever hourly basis what's going on in the world, and that probably feeds into a great source of anxiety for people at the moment, doesn't it? About because we're in quite a chaotic period politically.
I've been trying to think, what is it that makes me anxious? Do I have anxiety? What is it that's going on for me? And the only thing that I can really identify that does create levels of anxiety in me is a time issue, in the sense of if I'm going to do something, I like to be there in plenty of time.
Is that why you bombed it past me on the motorway tonight, when I was on my way here?
Could be.
Because you were worried that you were going to be late, later than I was.
I actually wasn't worried. I just drive that speed down the motorway. Anyway.
You always drive that fast. You must have been doing that. Well, I won't incriminate you.
I was doing slightly over the speed limit.
You were driving like a loon. You should need to come down the go-kart track with us. Let it all out on the...
Let it all out.
Okay, you like to be punctual.
Yeah, I love to arrive somewhere early enough to be able to collect myself. And that might even mean a few minutes meditation. If I'm going to go into a meeting or I'm going to run a course or I'm going to do something, I want to be there in time to arrive on time.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there at a point where I'm kind of rushing and worrying about it.
Okay.
Especially if you've got to wait for other people to get ready or do things, you're waiting for someone else to come along and all that kind of stuff. And that can create a level of, I don't know whether the word's anxiety, agitation. You know, my adrenaline goes up and my cortisol is flowing. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of anxiety where you're in control of it in some way, because you just need to set off early. Whereas it's not the type of anxiety where it's something... Because often anxiety is... We get anxious about things, and I get... You know, I'm a small-time environmentalist. I'm getting there.
Mm.
So, you know, I read articles about the future of the climate and where we could be in 100 years if we don't get our act together.
Yep.
I'm doing my bit. It's not much more... I mean, there are other things I could do, but realistically, as one little, little person walking this earth, I'm doing quite a lot, and there's not much more I can do. There's not much I have control over, really. So it's this huge issue that does worry me, that I can't really... Is there any point?
How does it worry you? What does that mean, that it worries you?
I'm not worried in the sense that I think, the house is going to get flooded in the next few years or anything like that. I guess having kids, it does worry me that the projections in terms of sea level rise and potential civil unrest for people having to move inland, or lots of people like Syria times 1,000 people just moving north, south. Like my kids having to bear that burden, really, and not being able to chill out and do cool things like this.
But the thing about that, and you could be exactly right about it, and you could be actually doing things about it, but anxiety overall, from a kind of psychological definition, is when we're living the future in the present. Now, when you, the kind of things you've just said about if this happened and that happened, and those things that you said have images attached to them, and those images are things that then enable you to ruminate on something and to worry about it. The issue has to be that if those things are going to happen,
yep,
then they are going to happen, whether I'm anxious about them or not. And maybe if I'm, the less anxious I am, the more able I am to respond in ways and actually do something about them that might be useful or helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, do you mean like anxiety is a very debilitating, sort of crippling place to be, because people become inert. You know, fight and flight goes off, and people do the headless chicken syndrome because their cognition's gone, or they do the freeze, like the rabbit in the headlights, where they can't move.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anxiety is supposed to be the disease of the moment, isn't it? And we reckon that over 60% of the people that go to a doctor or a physician are going there with anxiety.
Even, and, yeah, this is like physical, it can have physical implications.
Yeah, yeah. There are many, many people that have, if I say psychosomatic, pseudo or hysterical heart attacks, that sounds demeaning. What I mean is that the mind and the emotions are playing out in the body, mm-hmm, so it looks like a heart attack, to the point where the people are then taken to hospital and they're put on all the meters and checked out to discover that they actually haven't got anything wrong with the heart at all.
Yep.
Yeah? But that's true of lots of illness. What we would describe as stress-related illness, a lot of it is anxiety, emotional-based, that's playing out in the body. But one of the problems is, it's a bit like if you're tense in the shoulders and you have a headache that's over the front of your eyes.
Yep.
Yeah, you go to the doctor or you go to the chemist, and the chemist gives you a painkiller to stop the experience of pain over your eyes. They don't say, go and have a massage and get rid of the tension in your shoulders.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like we look at things backwards in the way that we develop our medicines, particularly in our psychology comes to that, but it's like we end up dealing with the headache and not the neck. And if we dealt with the neck, then we wouldn't have the headache.
Mm-hmm.
But because we only deal with the headache, it keeps coming back.
Yep. Is that just a cultural thing in the West a little bit then?
I mean, yes and no.
Was it just laziness? Like, or not a lack of self-awareness, really?
It's a lack of understanding.
Mm.
You know, and it's much easier, isn't it? If my back hurts, it's easier for me to go and take a painkiller and get on with things rather than pay attention to why my back hurts and maybe get something done about that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's too easy to use kind of analgesic gels and things on, and rather than actually deal with what's wrong.
Yeah,
and I think that's true for lots of things. One of the biggest things in anxiety I have to deal with in the consulting room is people that are anxious about something that they're avoiding. Let's say someone's has developed a fear of opening the post, because if they open the post, they're going to find out things that they don't want to find out, or they believe that's what's going to happen. So now they don't open the post.
Mm.
And the post starts to pile up, and maybe they haven't opened it for a month, 2 months, a year.
Yep.
Yeah, and then suddenly there are all kinds of things coming through the door that they're still not opening, that are court orders and all kinds of stuff, because they didn't open the other things in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that sense, anxiety is very often built out of the unknown. And the future is always unknown, therefore it's easy to be anxious about the future because we can live our scariest dreams in the moment.
So how do you start flipping it around so that you can start living a more positive future then?
Well,
or is it about not living in the future at all? It's about...
Well, the thing is that creativity and planning are about living in a future, but it's living in a future positively. We're planning to do something. We're going to go on holiday whenever, so we plan to go on holiday, yeah? But we could project forward into going on holiday and start thinking about the air flight and start getting anxious because the plane's going to crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one person.
Do you know anyone like that, by the way?
One or two. one person can be projecting forward and thinking like, woo, we're going on holiday. And the other person is projecting forward thinking, oh no, I've got to go on a plane.
And as soon as they land at the destination, they're building up to the return journey.
To come back again, yeah. And I'm doing these flights now, and for me, the idea of sitting down for 7 hours in a comfortable seat, watching some movies and being fed by somebody is a cracking idea. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very relaxing, nice place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to die on the plane, well, I want to die with a smile on my face. So if I'm going down, I want to go down happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For me, being on the plane is a lovely place. But I don't have any fears of the plane failing. That doesn't mean say that it won't. Doesn't mean say that it couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed looking at the map when the last time I was going out to Qatar that the plane flies over Aleppo.
Oh yeah.
And just you sit on the map where all the fighting's been going on. And I'm thinking, well, it's really weird to be sat up here
in the sky, above. Yeah.
Yeah. Eating a meal and watching a movie, and down below us, what on earth is going on down there?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, that really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But where's our head? Because anxiety, it's okay being anxious about saber-toothed tigers if there's one coming at you.
Yep.
And you're loading your gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a whole other thing about if the saber-toothed tiger isn't anywhere near you, isn't likely to be anywhere near you, but you're still having the anxiety like it has happened. I caught a news broadcast recently about a guy, and I say this with compassion, who was a big game hunter. And
was this the one from this morning?
And he shot an elephant, which ended up falling on top of him and crushing him.
Yeah, I saw that doing the rounds.
And that is such a. A crazy thing to happen, isn't it? I mean, I don't agree with shooting elephants. I don't agree with big game hunting. There seems a great irony in the fact that it was the elephant that he shot that killed him. By far, there seems to be something very strange about that. But would anybody out there with a gun shooting elephants have any conception that an elephant's going to fall on you and kill you? You know, and yet some people would develop this anxiety of, I can't go near an elephant because it's going to fall on me and kill me.
Yep.
Yeah, just from that story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts to play out in the imagination and they start to weave themselves into the imagination.
Yes, oh yeah. I haven't watched Jaws in a while, but yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to go swimming for a while after that, do you?
Yeah, so it becomes a part of your story rather than simply other people's.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
But, I mean, with the examples such as flight, people that are anxious about that, or any kind of phobia, or it's reversible, isn't it? And it's fixable, which is important to remember, even if you're in deepest despair and deepest worry about something. There's a way out.
The problem is that when you start talking about the ways out, they sound simplistic and they can get up people's noses. I mean, the easiest thing to do if you're anxious is take drugs, because that gets rid of it. You know, go to the GP, get someone to knock you out. You know, if you can't get on a plane, get off your head on diazepam and alcohol and fly where you want to fly. You know, there's things that you can do that suppress it. They don't deal with it. The easiest way to overcome both depression and anxiety is through mindful meditation. Yeah, now that's dead easy for me to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a whole different ball game if you're rolling around on the floor somewhere having an anxiety fit. Yeah, it's okay for him to talk about, yeah, that kind of stuff. But the bottom line reality is that if you're prepared to spend the time that you would be spending being anxious, if you spent that time and invested that time into developing mindfulness skills so that you were able to be in your present, then your levels of both depression and anxiety would diminish hugely and maybe you could get rid of them.
Yep.
Yeah? But that, it sounds too easy. Doesn't it sound kind of trite? Yeah, just do this and be okay.
Piece of cake, innit?
It's hard.
Just download Sean and Ed's files off the
website.
And
then you'll be fine.
Bob's your uncle.
But it's hard work to actually learn to be mindful and to meditate. It's tough stuff, mm-hmm. yeah? But the bit that people don't get is that to be anxious, to be angry, you know, to be a moaner, takes a massive investment of human consciousness in developing the skill of being anxious, miserable or moaning.
Yep.
Yeah, it takes a huge... You could get a degree, first-class honours, in being miserable if you spend enough time studying the subject. Yeah? And that's what people do. And they don't realise it because they say, no, it's just the way I am. You don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you don't come out of the womb like that. You learn that.
Yeah.
Yeah? And all anxieties can be overcome if we approach them mindfully. Yeah? It may take some people longer than others. It may be a really tough journey for some people and an easier journey for others.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. It's there.
It's a worthwhile journey, isn't it? What an investment.
And one day I'm going to get you meditating.
But it is not this day. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try again in another 6 months or so.
Another incarnation.
There's a guy I share an office with actually now who he's having a crack at meditation, unbeknownst to me. He just came in one day and he'd I think he'd been meditating because he had a bit of time in the office on his own before the other two of us arrived. And he was talking about Headspace. He's like, do you know Headspace, Ed? I'm like, do I know Headspace? We interviewed those guys way back when. They'd be nothing without us, nothing.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting to see how he gets on, but he's you've got to have that will, haven't you, initially to succeed and to want to move on, I guess, really. Because some people... We were talking about relationships last week and how people can get addicted to the pain.
Mm.
I guess, can it be the same with anxiety? Can you get hooked on that?
But if your normal body and brain chemistry is anxiety chemistry, and that's your normal, if that begins to change, you don't feel normal. So you're likely to do things or feel things to make yourself feel normal. And right. That always sounds insane and mad. But if you don't believe me, just go and visit your local self-harm unit and watch what happens with people as they harm their bodies to make their body chemistry feel right. And you think, why on earth would you do that? And the reason that you do it is because you've taught your system that that's how it works.
Yeah.
And you can learn to be different. Yeah? I know I do make it sound simplistic.
Yep.
I don't mean it to be that simplistic because a lot of these things are hard work. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can change it. But is it easy being anxious? You know, is it a barrel of laughs? Is it fun being anxious? Because if it's not, then invest the time into changing it.
Because it's fun. And at that time as well, invested is fun, the time, not just the destination.
Mm.
It's that whole journey.
Enjoy the journey.
The journey can be fun and all, can't it?
Yeah.
Have you got a resource for us?
My resource is meditate. Yeah, either use Headspace, use MindPilot, use Meditation Oasis, go to a local meditation group. Like, however you do it, learn to shut your system up and focus on the present and let the anxieties drift off in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah? Learn to be where you are.
Cool. Mine is the screen's gone again, but it is an anxiety test online, so it's part of a blog post that I found, which I'll include in the show notes, and we mentioned a couple of bits and pieces from it. But as part of the blog post, there's an anxiety test you can take online. I think it says it takes about 5-6 minutes. It's probably a good place to start, maybe just to see what kind of where you are on the journey and on that scale.
As long as you approach it with an open mind and you don't approach it with an anxious mind thinking, oh, what's it going to tell me?
Yeah, oh my God, oh my God.
And then if it tells you that you're high on the anxiety scale, you can either run off with that and go, and make it worse, or you can think, okay, that's my starting point. Okay, what am I going to do about it now?
Yeah. Well, that's your starting point. Do the test. Take the test.
Yeah.
And
meditate.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in trouble, drop Sean an email, hey?
Yeah. And I'll give it to Ed.
So he's pretty busy, but he will get back to you eventually.
Yeah, well, when I'm doing these 7-hour trips on the planes, I can just reply to
him. Oh, you've got Wi-Fi up there, right?
Yeah, they have Wi-Fi on the planes now. It's amazing.
What a world. All right, cool. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out. all the show notes and links there. Sign up to our mailing list and you'll get some free meditation files. If you great little actually starter kit for meditation, aren't you?
Morning. Well, the morning focus particularly, because if you wake up anxiously, then the morning focus helps you get your head on the right way round to go and have a good day.
If you're waking up anxiously, there's something wrong. If you've just had a good night's kip.
But then you could have been dreaming about anxious things all night, if that's the way that your mind ruminates.
Little indicator there that you need to do a listen to the MP3. And don't forget clearmindcushion.com. If you do get into your meditation more seriously, or you just, well, it doesn't have to be really, if you're thinking of doing it properly, some kind of support will help. And Chris has developed the Clear Mind Cushion. And so head to the website and use the code SELFHELP for a 10% discount.
Yep.
Cool. Right.
Very good.
Sure. Lovely as always. I'll see you in a week, all right?
You take it. See ya.
See you later.
Bye.